I could compare myself to. I even have a picture on my Instagram of Arnold Schwarzenegger at 23 and me at last year. And
that's awesome.
Exactly the same. And I was like, at the best I could ever looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger at 23. And then he got much better, and that's where I was. You know, so I could never be Arnold, right. You know, but that was the inspiration. You know, maybe someone can't be Mark Bell, but they can be inspired and drive and say, I want to get as high of the bench I can. I can work, I can do all stuff. You know, you can be as funny as Hugo, maybe not, but you can try to be as funny as Hugo.
Good luck.
Yeah. But player. We all need to understand this. Like, a lot of people think that if I don't reach where that person is, then I'm not good enough. But just run your own race, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. I think my wife should chime in on some of this a little bit.
I think so.
she's trying to not chime in, but I think that she should a little bit.
She's Andy, shaking her head a lot at you.
Why don't you pop in here just for a second?
Yeah, and, Andy. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Let people know a little bit about this journey that we've been on. Like what have I guess you can ask her the question. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. So what's it like putting up with this?
No, actually, how much time do we have left in the show?
Yeah. Well, we got about 4 minutes. Yeah, but it's a good question for you because as a woman, being supportive of a man and family and everything else, sacrifice isn't just Mark. When people see this in the Instagram, they see all this stuff, they might say, oh, you sacrifice, you do this. It's a family thing, and you had to sacrifice a lot yourself in helping achieve this and be that support. And like you said, you're the one who is kind of, you know, is the brains behind the business and stuff. So how do you do it?
Well, I think, you know, Mark had said earlier about trusting his gut and going with that. So when specifically about the bodybuilding, when he came home and told me about it, he didn't ask me, by the way, he told me about it.
We both do that to each other, by the way.
I just was like, okay, you know, this is what you want to do. I support it. Just let me know, you know, how I can help. And so I tried to help with meal prep and just take care of the kids or do stuff. But we are a really good team. And I think that when you have a husband-wife duo, I think it's a pretty powerful partnership, not just with the business, but with family, with your relationship and everything. And again, I just try to have my own life and have my own focus and goals, but we do everything together with the business. And we've been married 18 years.
Wow, which,
So it helps. And, you know, a lot of people ask us advice about relationships, but I just say, you know, for us, you got to really like the person that you're with. That's really it. You got to really like each other and trust each other, and you can pretty much do anything. So I trust him, I support him, and you know, that just works for us. So that's what I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, communication is obviously, you hear people talk about it all the time, but you know, I think for a lot of the men that are listening to this show right now, they get so excited about the work that they're going to do. You guys are comedians. You get the opportunity to go out and do that job, but you're the best job and the job that you need to put the most time into are your relationships at home. Like, those are the most important thing. And so if you think like, oh man, I'm going to be gone for this and gone for that and gone for that, you have to just kind of look at the schedule and say like, does that actually make any sense?
Yeah.
Like that's going to work for a guy that's going to be divorced in 2 years, but it's not going to work good for me. You know, you kind of look at it and just really make sense of it, because you're not trying to be a comedian for a day or two. If you go out and tell 10 good jokes one time, you're not a great comedian, right? If you go out and make a couple baskets in basketball, you're not a great basketball player. It's about the consistency. And so I spread myself really thin. And a lot of times her and I will look at it and we'll go, okay, whatever that was, we can't do that again. That did not work. You know, we had 3 or 4 guests in 1 week. Plus you know, there was a powerlifting meet on the weekend. There was this going on. Let's just scratch that and not do that again. And so that's what we try to be aware of.
And it's interesting to be that honest about something where you would say, this, what did we do? That was too much. We need to dial it back. Where I think a lot of people, they think sacrifice, and when they hear that word and they go, oh, I need to toughen up. I need to sacrifice more. And you got to realize, it's just like in bodybuilding, the gym and everything else. If you deplete so much at some point, you will pay for it. You know right. what I mean? And it's better to keep it sustained at a level that is manageable for that consistency for a long period of time. And if you right. say, hey, look, this amount of stuff in a day, this amount of everything lets us be successful over a long period of time instead of that short, quick burst, you know, that's great. You guys are honest and know that, because I think a lot of people lose that in what they're trying to do and chase their goals.
don't be fancy. Just be consistent.
That's it. Well, we got just a few seconds, or well, not seconds, but about 2 minutes left, and then the sports guys are going to kick in here. I ask every guest this, and although this has all been inspirational, maybe we've already touched on what we were going to say, but, you know, what is something that a life lesson or a hack or something that you would give to a young Mark Bell who was in that gym or trying to find himself or someone out in that audience today who's a young guy or just a person trying to that says, I want to chase a goal. I want to get something done. What would be something you could say to them and say, here's what one thing that stuck with you, a mantra or something?
Yeah, first thing I'd say to a young Mark Bell is it's okay. You're not going to go blind. And you'll find somebody. You'll find somebody.
Someone to help you eventually.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I would start. You know, start with that. I think, you know, for some of the young people out there, it's just a lot of the things I already touched on. You know, just yeah. you have to be willing to try stuff. You know, you have to be willing to, and once you get something started, you have to continue to figure out a way to put one foot in front of the other. I always kind of equate things to back to lifting, since I feel like that's where all the lessons have been learned for me. You know, if I'm pushing a sled, you know, a weighted sled, and I'm pushing it with everything I got, I'm not going to hear the cheers of anybody. I'm not going to hear anything from anybody until I get towards the end. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of envision your life that way, you're walking and walking and walking, and you're getting towards your goals. Well, no one's really going to say much when you lost 5 pounds and your goal is to lose 50.
Yeah.
You're going to start to hear a lot of encouragement, though, when you lost 30, when you lost 40. Hey, man, you're looking great. What are you doing, right? Yeah. So the same thing with the sled. You know, my head is down. I'm pushing it with everything that I have. And you'll start to hear a lot of encouragement as you get closer to that finish line. And so in life, when you first start to try to do something, there won't be anybody else there to congratulate you, to say anything much to you until you get closer. So just keep pressing forward. Keep working hard. Have your head down and don't look up. Don't try to, dig up that seed of that dream that you had. Let the thing grow. Yeah. Let it develop. Let it turn into something.
And this is Belly Ramos, supervisor for Napa County's 5th District, and you're listening to KVON Napa.
I'm Nate Campbell, updating you on some stories we are following in the KVON newsroom, recognizing the value of properly installed car and booster seats and safeguarding children. Senator Bill Dodd has passed a resolution designating this the third week of September as Child Passenger Safety Week. The American Automobile Association estimates that 90% of child restraints are incorrectly installed or improperly used. Getting to know our local leaders, new Napa Police Chief Robert Plummer on the challenges of policing.
Then you pile on the new age social media, which now really paints such a negative picture of law enforcement. But what it doesn't show is what we in law enforcement, the profession, haven't done a really good job of marketing, really the great work that men and women do every day. I would say 99.95% of the time, officers are doing everything the right way. It's that 0.5% that gets displayed. So community policing is really just engaging the community, being a problem solver, identifying what actually is the problem in the neighborhood, whether it's homeless, traffic, what is causing those neighbors to call the police or be frustrated with police.
Plummer says he's in the early stages of redeveloping a plan of action for the Napa Police Force to get out and talk to residents on their beat every 15 minutes of every hour. And Napa Valley College tweets, CSU applications open up on October 1st for the fall 2019 transfer semester. You can apply at calstate.edu/apply. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news. Your Napa Valley News is brought to you by Matthews Mattress, your family and locally owned mattress store, the only source for Tempur-Pedic beds in the Napa Valley. Stop by and see Dustin and the large selection of mattresses at Matthews Mattress at Soskal and Vallejo Street in Napa.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's soft! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. This is Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky sitting here in the studio with Big Daddy Love and gosh, Jonathan Wright. We haven't seen you in forever. Welcome back.
How's it going? Oh, Wait, where's my mic?
It's been
what?
It's been so long since we've seen you. I don't even turn on that mic anymore.
Yeah, right. Has it ever been used?
No, I'm sure it has.
Ah, good to be here again.
It's good to have you. How's the cigar shop going?
It's busy, man. Still going strong. Hotel's been great. Yeah.
They've been sending a lot of people over.
Yeah. And then you have.
Yes. I sent all kinds of people over there.
Yeah, just through Big John's business, I think we're
that just keeps you open. Yeah,
definitely.
What beer do you guys have on tap now, right now, and how many do you guys have?
Well, I pick all of them, so I rotate a lot of stuff through. I don't mess around.
What's there now? Do you remember?
I got a Figaro Mountain Hoppy Poppy on, Death and Taxes, which we always have on. That's the one that rotates a lot. That's the best cigar beer.
Have you guys had Death and Taxes in the can?
No. I heard about that.
Yeah, I had one the other day. Speaking of Death and Taxes, Moonlight Brewing had their 23rd anniversary this weekend. Opened the tap room up, had some food trucks out.
Nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, then
I didn't want to forget to mention Brian.
Yeah. No, Moonlight's great. Definitely go there. Not enough. I don't want to see what else they're up to.
You guys also have a lot of wine up there too, right?
Yeah, we do. But you know, I do pick some of those. But the boss, it's kind of me and Eric who kind of pick those. I do all the beers kind of on my own. Seismic, I've been getting stuff from Seismic lately. They've been doing some good stuff.
Yeah, where they're close to us, right?
They're Santa Rosa.
Yes, very close.
And had their Kolsch on, which was very popular. Went through a couple kegs of that, like nothing. And then we got the Moylan's barrel-aged Kilt Lifter.
Oh, wow.
On tap right now. And that's a really nice one.
Is that pretty rare? Because I've had Kilt Lifter a lot. And
yeah. Know, well, it's even hard. I mean, it's even hard for us to get Kilt Lifter. I don't know why. But the barrel-aged, yeah, it's pretty rare. I've
never even heard of it.
Moylan's still does all their production at the restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they don't have a production facility to support the restaurant, so they've been maxed as long as I've known of them for more than 10 years. They've been maxed.
Sure, yeah. So you got to get it while the getting's good there. And then what else we got? Brown from Trade down the street supporting those guys, and they're going to be opening their new little space pretty soon.
Where the
owners are the owners of Jack's, I believe, Jack's Diner. I believe both of them or one of them so the Jack's is opening their adjacent space. It's going to be a full bar. It's going to be because they got their full license in the lottery.
In the lottery, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to be opening a new space, which will be pretty cool. That kind of a side note there.
Is that going to be next to the Jack's, the restaurant, which is basically
next to, and there's a big doorway that opens up into the next room. So I think they're even kind of using it a little bit already.
So that's on First Street, right across
gonna be,
from you guys.
I think they're going to be opening this week. From what I talked to somebody, I think they were thinking this weekend they might be opening.
I know Derek was involved in Jack's. I don't know if he still is.
Derek is
still involved.
I wasn't sure if the other guy was involved with Trade as well.
I don't know the answer, there's two owners of each of them, but I don't know if it's the same two owners.
Yeah, exactly. It's Derek who does both, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on them, or looking forward to seeing that place open, see what that's going to be all about. But I did hear a rumor that it might be this weekend, or possibly next week. So
a beer nut exclusive again.
That's there you go.
Yeah, right. sorry, I wasn't. I didn't come prepared with the specific information.
Do they
information,
have a name for it, or is it just Jack's Late Night?
Well, on the sign on the top says Jack's the Mule, and there's Jack's Diner, and then Jack's the Mule. So I don't know if they want people to call it the Mule. You know, going to the Mule, maybe. I don't know. That's my guess anyway. So yeah, then we have the Belching Beaver peanut butter.
Oh, Colin's stout. Favorite. Yeah. Colin's favorite beer of all time.
That beer.
I love that beer.
That's the thing. People love it. That's why I have to keep getting it.
Yes.
People just love it. When it's gone, they get angry.
Are you in the Colin?
I don't mind it, but I don't want a pint of it is my problem. Like I'll take 6 ounces of it. And, you know,
it's the, for a little. We're going to start calling this the Great Beaver Debate. The Belching Beaver peanut butter stout comes up at least, I don't know, twice a month that we talk about
it. Yeah, it's one of those beers. Yeah, it's kind of a love it or hate it beer.
Wow.
But for me, I'm one of those people in the middle. I'm like, yeah, I like it, but I don't want a pint of it. You know, it's different. It's to me, it doesn't taste like peanut butter. I don't even taste peanut butter. I taste Cocoa Puffs milk. So I think the reason I like it a little bit is because the nostalgic reasons. You know, it just reminds me of my childhood, you know, slurping up a bowl of Cocoa Puffs.
Tom and Jerry. But
to me, that's exactly what it tastes like. I can't get rid of that.
See, to me, it just ruins a perfectly clean glass.
Yeah,
don't get Colin, of course. Don't get Colin started on the peanut butter beer, please. Yeah,
of course.
It's going to be a there's half
another
hour
one I've seen out there, peanut butter and jelly. Have you seen that one?
No. Well, yes, but I have not had it.
Yeah, there's a peanut butter and jelly beer out there now, too.
All right. Gotta get that one in here.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
I'll look real hard for that.
Yeah, you were pretty adamant, I think, at one point talking about how peanut butter is not a good flavor for,
For beer. Peanut can be an off flavor in beer.
Peanut, yeah.
Yeah, it can be an off flavor. So
yes, you have that, which is good. That seems like it would go great with the cigar.
Get the beer chef back in here and see what he thinks of that.
The beer chef is coming back soon.
Yeah, nice. All right. Nice.
John, you can ask him.
I will ask him. Pac-Man. We have beer also. Maybe want to get one opened.
They're sitting next to you, and there's an opener next to you, and I don't have anything but a microphone.
You got it. Go ahead, keep going, Jonathan, about the beers you have on tap.
Yeah, getting a lot more stuff from Sonoma Springs. They've been doing some really interesting stuff. They've been doing kind of like a field work thing where they just keep rotating new hazies and new. And that's another thing I was going to ask you about. It's been so long. You know, hazies weren't even a thing, I think, when I was doing the show before, or they were just kind of coming out.
You know, and so after you left,
we did a whole show.
We did two whole shows. Two whole hazy shows, and all with freshly shipped East Coast hazy beers.
Oh, really?
So I had friends from the East Coast ship them out to us. And so we got to try Trillium, and Trillium was by far my favorite of the breweries.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the other ones that are, you know, rated really high in Beer Advocate there. Until then, I had no idea why people drank hazies.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
It was an eye-opener for you then?
Those beers, perfectly fresh, are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. They aged really poorly. After 3 weeks, they were just ruined.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Speaking of hazy, I was at the Def Leppard concert and Journey concert, and they had the Sierra Nevada hazy little something on tap, which I drank. And guess how much a beer would cost at a concert?
$12.
$15.
Oh, man. It's
a
gone
round
up.
Of three is $45.
It's gone up.
Yeah, but it's called a hazy little thing. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Hazy little thing.
There's a Def Leppard beer, too.
Yeah, I wanted to get it bring it to the show.
Who makes
but
that?
I
is that is that Revision or no? Somebody makes. It's in a can. It's got the Def Leppard.
Yeah.
The
line for that beer was super long, so I was like, and plus they opened the.
So they did
automatically open the. They had it there.
They had it there. Oh, okay.
But the line was like around the block, so I was like, I'm not waiting for that. I'm just gonna jump in.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I saw it at Oxbow. I think is where I saw it.
Yeah, take. I want to get that beer, so I'm gonna look for it, and then I'll probably bring it in with the next couple shows. So. This is the beer that we're going to drink right now. It's the Torpedo. This is my go-to. It's always in my refrigerator.
It's your go-to? That's why we have it here?
Yeah, that's why I have it today.
Thank you for bringing beer because I totally forgot.
Like I always say, the best beer is the one that's in your fridge. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
This is definitely, I got onto this beer, I don't know, maybe when it first came out, maybe, has it been 5 years, 6 years since the Torpedo came out?
I don't even remember
now. It's been a while.
It seems brand new.
This is the extra. It's an extra. It's an IPA.
Is it a double though? It's not.
I think it's just a single.
Alcohol percentages on the other side there.
Well, they say extra 7.2. So
yeah, that's usually where I like.
Not quite a double.
In between 7 and 9 is where I usually like the alcohol content. But I mean, I like to try a lot of beer. There's a little saying on there, Colin. You like to read the backs.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to put them on the spot. Got to
put my reading voice on again.
Yeah, you got to take the beer.
At Sierra Nevada, we hope. Sorry, let's try that again. At Sierra Nevada, we take hops seriously. Torpedo Extra IPA starts with the world's finest whole cone hops and intensifies their flavors with a little magic from our hop torpedo. The torpedo is a revolutionary method of dry hopping that brings this beer alive with a rush of complex aromas and flavors not found in any other beer.
That explains a lot without explaining anything.
You know, I they described the torpedo to me at dinners and whatnot, and until I opened one, I had no idea how the heck they worked.
Well, this was kind of what reminded me to bring this today, because we were talking about the torpedo on our show last week. Yeah, so I was like, hey, you know what, I'll bring one in because I have one in my fridge and we can drink it. And then also reminded me of,
the torpedo.
Yes. Which is kind of like you said, a percolator, coffee percolator.
Yeah, it's kind of works kind of like a coffee percolator. There's a big basket of hops up on top, and they pump beer through the middle, and it showers over the hops and drips down to the bottom.
Oh,
through the hops, and that's a separate vessel from the fermenter, and they pump in and out of the fermenter at the same time. So it takes two pumps to run the thing, and it's kind of a neat little setup.
Do you think it really makes a difference?
Well, it's really hard to get hops out of the fermenter. So dry hopping is kind of a challenge. So this is a way of never letting the hops into the fermenter, but still getting that character. So I think it's originally developed for them for a logistics reason. And then I think they figured out how to make it, you know, find the best recipes that work with it. So
So it said a whole cone. Is that cooler than not a whole cone, or what makes it cool?
Why would put that on there? Most breweries use pelletized hops.
Okay.
Sierra Nevada has always believed in pellet hops. They've always developed all their equipment to use whole cone hops. Some people think it makes a difference. Some people think it doesn't make a difference at all.
So they don't, a lot harder
to clean out whole cones.
So, So Sierra Nevada, that's all they use.
That's all they use. They do not use pellets.
Okay.
Do they do? Is this the only one they use the torpedo for?
No, they use the torpedo for all dry hop.
They just named this beer after the torpedo.
Right.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, we just had one on. Was it the Hot Bullet, which used the torpedo also?
They even I'm told don't know this for sure, but I'm told that they use the torpedo on the pale ale as well, just the normal pale ale that you get every day.
You heard it here, folks.
Yep.
You're thinking about talking trash about Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, a lot less hops, obviously, in the pale ale, but I'm told it also goes through the torpedo.
Oh, man, when that beer came out, it seemed super hoppy. So it was like, why is this beer so bitter? Now you drink it, it's like water. it's the same beer.
It's the same beer.
I'm not sure it is.
Well, it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. When I think of the old Sierra Nevada, I think of this really hoppy, cascade-forward beer. Now I don't taste Cascade as much. I think they've taken some of the Cascade out and replaced it with other things. There's still Cascade in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think they've grown. That recipe has grown.
Yeah.
With the brewery.
Many
people realize that there's the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale in the bottle. But then there's the Sierra Nevada Ale with the green label in a keg.
Yeah.
That's a different recipe.
Ah. Is it?
And I've had the bottle recipe on tap, which is my favorite. I like the bottle recipe on tap.
Okay.
You can only get it at the brewery. They don't ship kegs out of the brewery.
Oh, you only get the pail in
you
a keg.
You only get the bottle recipe in a keg.
Oh.
If you go to the brewery.
Yeah. Interesting.
And they do an estate one where they take all the stuff that they grow on property, supposedly, and make a beer, right?
When they can. So they don't have a lot of property. They have some property that they made into a hop field behind the parking lot at the brewery there. And they decided, wouldn't it be great to do an estate beer? What if we could get everything locally? Well, in order to do that, you have to grow a lot of barley and malt it. And they didn't have a way of doing that until they bought a railroad spur. So 3 miles from the brewery, they own a railroad spur to bring ingredients in. And there's enough property on the railroad spur that they planted it with barley. So when the barley harvest is good, they can do an estate beer. Right. But from what I'm told, it's been a little bit hit or miss on getting barley out of the field.
Yeah, I don't know what time they do it, but they do it at least once a year. You start seeing the bottles come out.
With our climate, I'm imagining they're pulling barley out around now.
Hmm.
So I would assume that the estate beer would be fall. They have to get the hops out now.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But they could store the hops. I don't know. I guess they could store the barley too. Who knows?
Well, let me ask you a question, Jonathan, since you were at the cigar shop. What percent of people are drinking beer versus wine, roughly, do you know? It seems like would it be more beer because it's more of a male thing to smoke a cigar? that guys don't drink wine, but wine is a
traditional pairing, isn't it? Wine, yeah, and ports.
It was
wine is not scotch or bourbon or rum.
But you guys don't have
ports. Ports definitely. Ports, we have a lot of port. We definitely double down on the port because we can't get the hard liquor. We don't have the hard liquor license, so we were able to do port, which that is definitely a traditional pair. Wine is a tough pair with a cigar because a lot of people want big, bold cabs, and anything with a good amount of tannin paired with a cigar, to me, just doesn't work because you get dry on dry in the back of the throat. It's just too much dry. So generally, you try to pair the kind of juicier wines with the cigars that have almost a little bit of that sweetness from the fruit in the front of the palate. Everybody wants a dry red, you know. So
I always thought of a really big Zin with a cigar.
Yeah, Zins are good because they got that zing up front. Yeah, a little spice, a little pepperiness sometimes. That's a great pair with the cigar. And I've been trying to get more Zins. We actually do have the Black Chicken coming in from Bialy, which is a very, very popular Zin. That's going to be a great, great cigar wine.
You guys also have some high-end stuff. I was there the other day with some of my friends. They had a glass of Camus. You guys sell Camus?
Yeah, we got Camus by the glass. Yeah, Camus Special Select and the regular cab. We got Rubicon. We got Schaefer, 1.5, not the Hillside, but we're using the Corvin, and it's like, if you're using the Corvin, why not? Why not do some of these higher end wines by the glass? I'm surprised more restaurants don't do it. They could have a much bigger glass program.
So if they use the Corvin.
The Corvin is just a unit that has a argon capsule and a hollow needle. So the hollow needle goes through the cork. You tilt the bottle up to pour it, and you push the little trigger to push the argon into the bottle, and the argon forces the wine out through that hollow needle. So you're never taking the cork off, and basically you're leaving the bottle with argon, which is a very inert gas and doesn't really affect wine the way oxygen would. So if you're keeping oxygen out of the bottle, you're keeping it fresh for a whole lot longer. If you pop the cork, you got to sell the rest of the bottle in a week.
Usually faster.
I mean, you can use gas or a pump, and it'll buy you a couple extra days. You got to sell it pretty fast. And with the Corvin, it'll last for months, and we don't have to worry about it.
That's really cool.
There is a life to it. Like once it gets lower and there's more argon than wine, it seems like you still got to sell it within a couple months, but that's usually not a problem.
That's crazy.
So yeah, no, and I don't know why other people aren't doing it. I know bartenders hate it because it takes a lot longer to pour because
the needle's small.
Yeah, to pour that glass. Yeah, I'm not. It takes about that. As long as it takes to make a cocktail. What, maybe not quite as long, depending on how confusing the cocktail is for you.
It would kill me. Yeah. I mean, our business is so fast paced. I usually, you know how everyone cuts the little wine thing off with their knife and make it all fancy. I at least just take that thing and rip it off with my hand. I ain't got time for this cork thing, like the foil that they put over.
But see, you have your glass program. You have no problem going through those wines, right?
Yeah, because we sell by the glass, and we only have seven or eight bottles.
You could have a list of 10 high end wines that are Corvined. And you would only be pouring those, a few times a night, but you'd be making good money off of those.
Yeah, we do sell bottles, so that makes it kind of, a viable alternative. But
50 bottles, probably. Yeah.
But a lot of people, if they can pay $60 for a glass of Camus Special Select and they don't have to pay $250 for the whole bottle.
True.
I mean, to me, that's huge. I don't understand why more restaurants don't have that. It's
going to pay itself off, if you're selling it at that price, knowing the bottle price.
Jonathan, how do you spell that? Corvin?
Corvin.
Oh, okay.
Corvin. I think it was invented by a heart surgeon, I believe. Like, I don't remember the context of it.
But, usually brain surgeons invent stuff like that. So back to the original question. What do you sell more of, wine or beer, in the percentages?
That's hard to say. It's hard to say. Some nights are just wine nights. It seems like it's night by night. Like, some nights people are just, you know, just drinking beer, and some nights I get a lot of wine drinkers in. I can't really say it's one more than the other, honestly. It's
fairly pretty even. It's not like totally lopsided.
No. I mean, ever since we got the taps last year, I mean, obviously we pour a lot more beer on tap than in the bottles or cans, which is kind of frustrating because I get a lot of good stuff in bottles and cans too. I'm like, why don't you at least look over here? And they're like, no, I just want some on tap.
Well, not only that, you have to wash the glasses, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too.
That too.
We got to wash all our glasses by hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun.
You know what, though? I think you can get the glass cleaner if you're washing by hand.
You're probably right.
I used to struggle with the dishwasher a lot. Me and the dishwashers have a love-hate relationship. If it works perfectly, I like the glass that comes out of a dishwasher, as long as the dishwasher has no sanitizer.
Yeah, you like to use the same glass.
Once I get a glass seasoned, I do not want to change glasses.
Yeah, sometimes
and it takes a lot for me. Restaurants they'll just give up on a glass.
They won't let you use the same glass.
I know.
We do. We don't care, but you just have to make sure that you don't pour.
We encourage it.
Yeah, make sure you don't put the glass on top of the tap, you know, so you're not cross contaminating with germs. But a lot of restaurants won't even let you use the same glass, because I've asked, you know, can I use the same glass? Because I'm kind of like Colin. He's kind of trained me in the way to, like, your glass is going to be full with soap. And he's right. It does taste different. There's been glasses like that actually make the beer taste like it's bad. And you that's know, just if, because of the soap.
They won't let me reuse my glass, and I've already gotten one pint and realized that their dishwasher is a problem, I'll have them rinse the glass. Say, oh, I don't mind having a fresh glass. Could you please rinse it with
water? Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what you see that a lot more, and especially in beer bars with the little
spray thing.
Yeah, the little spray thing.
It helps a lot, especially if they have charcoal filtration ahead of the sprayer. It helps a lot, yeah.
Right, yeah. The people who care.
Right. Yeah, because the soap definitely from whatever power they have or whatever level of
heat. So there's two ways of meeting the code in a commercial dishwasher. One is you leave residual sanitizer on the glass. And I don't know why these companies think that if you're leaving a chemical on the glass, you must put an aroma with it. But the aroma they tend to choose is roses. And I do not want a beer that tastes like roses. So the sanitizer to me tastes just like roses. The other way is the glass has to hit 180 degrees during the wash cycle. So I always chose dishwashers at Joe's that took the glasses to 180. The problem is then it's 20 minutes when the dishwasher opens before you can use the glass, which makes it really hard for production.
Right. Yeah,
and if you go crash that glass into something really cold, the bottom breaks off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've had glasses break straight down the middle, like somebody just took a laser and cut it down the middle.
Wow, that's
just
crazy.
Crack and just fold it open, and the beer's just like spoosh. I mean, the bottoms crack a lot, but I've had one crack right down the center.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. We'll be back in a second.
An affordable health plan shouldn't be an oxymoron. Our plans are created around the simple idea that a health plan should keep both you and your wallet healthy. At Western Health Advantage, we provide a wide range of healthcare options together with local doctors and hospitals you and we trust. So you find the perfect balance of an affordable health plan with quality healthcare providers. That's an advantage you can count on, literally. To learn more, visit choosewha.com. Western Health Advantage. Advantage you.
Hi, this is Barry Martin. Thursday will not be a normal day on the KVON Morning Show. In the 7 o'clock hour, we will bring you live coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee's confirmation hearing for Brett Kavanaugh. Thursday morning is when Kavanaugh will be heard, as well as his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford. That's to be 7 o'clock Napa time. We'll carry that live on the morning show. Tune in for it. Important news happening live here on KVON tomorrow.
Community Grapevine. In-Home Support Services of Napa County, or IHSS, helps older adults and adults with disabilities to remain safe and independent in their own home. IHSS serves over 1,000 Napa County residents by paying for a care provider to perform needed services. Recipients hire a care provider of their choosing. If you are 65 or older, or living with a disability and Medi-Cal eligible, you may be eligible for IHSS. Call Napa County IHSS at 707-253-6272 to find out more.
Wherever you go, just tell your smart speaker to play KVON, the voice of Napa Valley.
The A's are on the road and the Giants are at home. And this is a sports report with Iris E. Smith. The Oakland Athletics conclude that series at Seattle tonight. You can hear the broadcast on KVON at 7 o'clock. The A's will be idle tomorrow. Then they'll be down at L.A. against the Angels in Anaheim to tune up for next week when they will be in the playoffs. In the meantime, the San Francisco Giants close out their series at home against San Diego tonight. The Giants and A's both idle tomorrow. The Giants have their final three games of the season at home against the Dodgers this weekend. And speaking of the Giants, they have fired their general manager, Bobby Evans. The Giants had promoted him to general manager back in 2015. Bruce Bochy will return as team manager in 2019. Golden State Warriors opened their training camp yesterday. They'll keep practicing until Saturday night when they have their first preseason game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then on Friday, October 5th, they take on the Sacramento Kings. That game will be played in Seattle. Their preseason game at home will be on Monday, October the 8th against the Phoenix Suns. The season opener will be on Tuesday, October 16th. That will be against the Thunder. And locally, the Vine Valley Athletic League cross country meet is being held today at Sonoma's Maxwell Park. And out at Napa Valley College, the women's volleyball team takes on Solano College today. That will be over at Solano.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Judd, the Fink Finkelstein. Join me every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. here on KVON for Judd's Napa Valley Show. You'll hear the interesting and quirky people that make this Napa Valley the wonderful, intriguing, and exciting place that it is.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's up! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back to KBON 1440 Beer Nuts. Sitting here in the studio with Big Daddy Love, John Herkins.
What's going on?
And Jonathan Wright, back for a...
Yo.
Are you back for a while? Or are you back for a day?
I don't know. Let's just keep it a mystery.
No, let's keep it a mystery.
Right?
Do you not live across the parking lot anymore?
No, I don't live that close anymore.
Yeah.
No. And I do work an earlier shift at the cigar shop, so it depends what I can get done.
What you can get wrangled.
Yeah, or if I need to get things done. That was an interesting statement just before we got back on the air here. Firestone Walker, the 805. Statement from Colin. Blonde ale was dead until they came out with the 805 recipe.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody was going to release a new blonde ale. Everybody
really?
Was letting it die off their menu. We were glad to see it go as an industry.
Yeah.
And then 805 comes out, and they make one of the best blonde ales any of us have ever had and showed that there's still a market for it.
Blonde ale as opposed to Pilsner.
Yeah, blonde ale. The 805 is an ale.
Right. But I find, you know... To me, number one, I have a hard time, maybe if I did a side-by-side, which I don't even know if I ever did, between a Pilsner and a blonde ale. To me, they're the same kind of beer. You know, they're a light, easy beer. Do you find major differences when you taste a blonde?
I do, because ale yeast tastes so different to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
to me, I don't quite
I produced 1,200 batches of beer on ale yeast and 5 batches of beer on lager yeast in my career.
Yeah.
And so when I taste a lager yeast, it's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this beer? Oh, wait, okay, settle down. It's just a lager yeast.
Right.
To me, it's that dramatic of a difference. Huh.
The Pilsner seems like it's extra light, and then it seems like it's more carbonated usually for me when I try a Pilsner versus an ale.
You could say that generally, but you're not going to find that true in every situation. Yeah.
So we have one. I have one tap out of the six in the cigar shop that's always a light beer, and it seems like the people who like light beers, they really don't discriminate between a Pilsner or a blonde. It's like, I can put a Pilsner on, I can put a blonde on.
Give me something light is what they say.
Occasionally, I can put a Kolsch on, but sometimes they have it a little funkier.
That's what they say, right?
There's,
give me something light, and then you go, okay. And then
to me, it's like, you know, there's always an audience for light beers. So it's interesting to say.
So one of the definitions of light beer is easy drinking. Mm. And when you get the customer that all they want is an easy-to-drink beer, you can give them any easy-to-drink beer.
Right.
And, you know, that's what made the lightest beer at Downtown Joe's the number one selling beer, was because you had so many customers walking in the door that just wanted the easiest to drink beer.
Right.
And if you took all of those out of the equation, it was probably the number six selling beer.
Mm.
You know, if I would have had 3 easy to drink beers, I wouldn't have gotten more customers. I would have diluted those customers across three brands.
Yeah, it seems like anyone who comes in, they won't even ask for a certain type of light beer. They'll just say, give me something light.
Give me something light.
Exactly.
Give me a light beer.
Which is why it's surprising to me that you said blonde ale, just nobody was wanting to make blonde ales anymore. It's like, then, you know, whether it's a blonde ale or a Pilsner, it isn't everybody just need a light beer?
Yes, but wheats have taken that place. Pilsners have taken that place. There's all sorts of other beers that not only appeal to that person that just wants a light beer, but then appeal to the beer geeks that want something very specific out of that light beer.
You know, one thing I think...
And the blonde ale was just kind of a mushy style that it was, let's just make something easy to fill that light side so we can focus on what we love. And the brewers themselves had lost their passion for it. And the industry had lost its passion
for it. So they're just into ales, and they're not wanting to make lagers, and they just need to make some kind of light
beer. They just need to make something light. Yeah, because it's got to be on, like, you have one of six.
Gotcha.
Everybody needs that one light beer. And, and you know, there's watermelon, wheat. There's all sorts of these newer light beers that have these followings now.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And there weren't any blondes with a following. And so when Firestone released the 805 as an industry, we kind of said, wow, well, why are you putting so much effort into this style that's going away? And then 805 just takes off.
It took off.
Yeah. And it's a great beer.
It's what
everybody wanted to make their blonde ale taste like, but didn't take the time to make it taste like.
Right, because they were just
because they were like, yeah, let's just make a light beer.
What I thought was a good idea was they put it in a dark bottle. Most light beers come in a clear container, you know, a clear glass bottle. They put it actually in a dark bottle.
Oh, well, a lot of the imports, yeah. The green bottles.
If you see a beer in a clear bottle or a green bottle, that means that the marketing department has more pull in the brewery than the brewer. and literally, because
it's not good for beer.
There's a chemical that's created when light hits beer, and it tastes like skunk. What we call it in the U.S. Caddy is what we call it in Europe.
Heineken, man.
Actually, have the
St. Pauli
aluminum
girl
bottles now, which I had a Heineken, and it tastes a lot different than the ones that are in glass bottles, which is what you're saying.
Yeah,
right,
Heineken
now
in a keg tastes really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heineken in a keg is a much different beer than Heineken in
the bottle. Have the aluminum bottles now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, somebody's figuring out finally.
Oh, yeah, they do have the aluminum bottles now, don't they?
And as brewers, we identified all of this chemistry in the 70s. And the marketing department said, yeah, but we like our clear bottle, or we like our green bottle. And so then the brewer said, well, how do we take this molecule out of hops? Because the molecule exists in hops. How do we take this molecule out of hops? And so there's all of these extracts that you can buy that are supposedly reduced, have that molecule changed chemically or removed or whatever. And all of them have problems. All of them have a specific flavor character.
Yeah.
And and brewers are like, just let us use a brown bottle. Leave me alone.
Okay.
And Samuel Smith's, you'll see, about 8 years ago, after decades of clear bottles, went to brown bottles finally.
Yeah, true. That is right.
Yep.
Hmm.
Speaking of bottles.
Now they're not going to cans, though.
We're going to drink another beer, Colin.
Okay.
I can't see Sammy Smith's going to cans.
So this is Knee Deep Brewing. They're out of Auburn.
They always, like Knee Deep. They're
yeah,
good
they
guys.
Always do good beer.
Yep.
This one's
Knee Deep is excellent. Tanilla.
This one's a Citra. Yeah, extra pale ale.
Yeah.
Single hopped ale. I mean, isn't it? I mean, why would they put that there? Single hopped.
Most that means there's only one variety.
Oh, one variety of the
one
hops.
One variety. So it's all
it's probably Citra. All Citra. Yeah.
Yeah. And Citra is one of the hard to get hops right now. It's
well, smell the thing, man. It smells like a patch of greatness.
Well, I can't smell it because I don't have any.
Because you already finished your
sample. Finished
us. That was the other one. Was it the other one?
No.
I'm not drinking that fast.
You are drinking that fast. Faster than me. So that's the Citra. I love the smell of it.
So this is considered
bottle, I smelled it in the studio.
Is it an IPA or is
a pale ale?
It's just considered a pale. Okay.
Yeah, but it is pretty.
What's the alcohol?
It's seven.
Alcohol.
Seven.
Oh, well, yeah, it's an IPA as far as
I'm concerned. I mean, it's pretty close, right?
Yeah. Anything above 5.8 is a.
IPA. Oh, but I see why they call it a pale. It's not. Yeah, it's not super hoppy. It's got a.
It smells super hoppy, but it's not.
Got a pleasant little sweetness to it.
Yeah, they put out good beer there. We should go there.
You know, I'm not a fan. I'd love to go up there. I'm not a fan of their labeling though. What is that green thing?
The green monster.
It's the hop green monster.
It's the hop monster.
It's the hop monster.
It has a name.
Yeah,
actually.
I don't know about that guy.
The time we had our research assistant call the brewery and we found out what the name was, but I.
Yes, it has a name. We remembered it, but we forgot. It has that little bottle on there that's upside down. Does that mean it's a? They make under a certain amount of bottles. It's local. The Brewers Association to make the craft beer to separate it from most of the
so yeah the, no so this is kind of a controversial thing in the industry. So the Craft Brewers Association has said basically if you fit into this category and you can put an independent beer brand on your marketing materials.
Which and is the upside down beer.
Right, it's and it's a, it says independent
right here. Independent, and, just like a bottle.
Oh,
and basically what it means is you're not owned by Budweiser. It's kind of how they separated out all of these acquisitions.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell now, right?
Yeah, it's right. The market became confusing. The Brewers Association decided they wanted to clarify everything.
Sure.
I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of think that brewers should kind of do whatever they want, and anything that tries to group them all together takes away their independence, which I think the Craft Brewers Association kind of tried to do with this. But I just don't like organizations in general.
They're not exercising any authority of any sort over these guys, right?
Is there somebody that comes down upon you if you put that on there? You're not really...
Yeah. It is a trademarked logo.
You're in the club.
It is a trademarked logo, and yeah, I don't know it.
I think for the consumer, it's cool because I mean, even these big breweries now they're trying to come out with these beers that are they look like craft beers, and
well, they're even buying craft beers and keeping the old
they're putting
labeling.
Lipstick on a pig sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's smart marketing.
I don't know. Do you guys put it on the window? Because you guys could buy a sticker and put it on the window.
No, we don't. We don't have it at Downtown Joe's, but we should. But we don't really sell our beer to go anyway. So,
but you're allowed to use it in your window marketing as well.
Yeah,
yeah. They make window stickers for it.
Do you have to pay for it? You have to pay for it. Okay.
You probably have to fill out a bunch of paperwork to prove that you are this or that, right? You can't just send in a check.
I think you send in a check with your corporate documents showing ownership.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. Then.
I'm just kind of anti-establishment. That's kind of why I got into craft brewing when nobody else was a craft brewer.
Right?
It's
like a Clinton Foundation.
a few hundred million dollars a year of nonprofit business. I mean, so it's
really
it's a big organization.
No kidding.
And they put on the Great American Beer Festival.
They have
a publishing arm. They're huge.
That's right.
And when Charlie started it in the beginning, it really was a needed thing. We needed a way of craft brewers to get together and talk about what we do, because, you know, the first GABF was like 60 people or something. Back in the 70s. And Charlie grew it into something really big. He's retired now, but I sometimes wonder if these organizations just get too big for their own britches and need to get diluted out into little localer thing. You know, now we could have a California one, we could have a Midwest one, we could have we could break it up, but right now it is what it is, and it's become a behemoth of an organization. And they do mostly good, but there's some things that they're so big that kind of get by them. And
yeah,
I don't know. That's my half-hearted rant on this subject.
That's easy if you get too big. Yeah, I hear you.
So if you had to go to one beer kind of event a year, which one would you go to?
Blues Brews and Barbecue. I just went to that. It was great.
So there's a couple events that are really noteworthy that are worth everybody's attention if it fits into your travel schedule. Portland Brewers Fest. Definitely a do not miss event.
It's not too overcrowded.
It's big, but the beer is so good and it's so much fun. The Skunk Train beer festival.
Right. With the Lagunitas, that's happening pretty soon, isn't it?
No, it just happened.
Oh, it just happened.
Yeah,
just
a few weeks ago. That is a do not miss special. You can't get this experience any other way kind of event.
We gotta get some cigars going at that event.
The Boonville Beer Festival, because it involves camping, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Just because there's two campgrounds. You got the brewer's campground, which is lots of fun. You've got the customer campground. Everybody gets there a day early, has a great time, goes to a beer festival, and then stays a day late.
Boonville, is that like Anderson Valley Brewing? Has something to do with that?
Yeah, so the Brewers Campground is on Anderson Valley property.
Okay.
And the customer campground is at the fairgrounds.
Ah.
And they just do such a good job. It's just really well put together. Everything's really organized. And
cool.
They've been doing it for a long time. The campgrounds are really organized. The event itself is run really well. I really like it. I think it's one of the best California events.
Nice. Yeah. How much time we got?
We got a lot of time.
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes.
We've got a couple more beers left in this.
Because I wanted to ask one more thing. Because we're carrying a beer from Barrel Brothers.
Oh, here we go.
I love
the Barrel Brothers.
I love Barrel Brothers.
We know.
We all love Barrel Brothers, don't we?
Yeah.
Come on.
Barrel Brothers, okay.
Here's the Barrel Brothers.
What do they got?
They got they're doing a brute. Brute IPA, which is I know it was started by Social Kitchen, but it's become kind of
it's really becoming a thing.
It's a Bay Area.
It's a Bay Area thing.
What is a brute?
A brute IPA.
Brute IPA. So, we haven't talked about this on the show.
No, we have not brought this up.
What is that?
It is a really dry high alcohol IPA.
Kind of like brute champagne is dry. And
yeah, so the ones I've had have been 9% and 10%.
And, really?
Yeah. And the final gravities are below water.
So wouldn't that be like a double IPA then? Why is it?
No,
because it's so dry. It's much drier than a double IPA.
I guess what's weird is there's something counterintuitive about it to some people is because they use some kind of enzyme, I guess, that takes away some of the sweetness that you get from the malts and makes it drier. Right.
So they use amylase enzyme, which is from light beer production. It was originally brought into the industry by the light beer producers in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And you can use it in the mash tun, and you get a little bit of dryness out of it. Or you can use it in the fermenter, and you get a lot more dryness out of it.
So is this coming out of California, this brute beer?
It's a Berkeley thing, really.
It's become a Bay Area thing. Bay Area.
When you go to Berkeley, you can go to these little tap houses and have five different ones on tap.
Yeah.
It's become the Bay Area replacement for hazy. So,
yeah, yeah, really. It's like the anti-hazy now. It's yeah. Like, but I'll so tell you what, super... their if they call it the Champaiterade, they always have the best names for beer. The Champaiterade is their Brut IPA, and I'm telling you, it's fantastic, man. And then I you know, I haven't tried a lot of Brut IPAs, but I think it's kind of a cool thing.
So I'll share a Downtown Joe's trade secret. The triple IPA at Joe's was always produced with this enzyme.
Oh, really?
Because it's the only way I liked it.
The triple, no kidding.
Because it would get too sweet, right?
Otherwise, it's just too sweet.
Yeah, the sugar is too high.
And getting the enzyme to work and getting the yeast to be healthy enough to finish an 11% beer at below the gravity of water was really challenging.
So if I'm looking for one of these beers, do they say Brut on it? Is that like
part
of
the label? Yeah. That is the marketing in the Bay Area.
It'll say Brut IPA, yeah.
But it's really only a Bay Area thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. I haven't seen any of these things.
You haven't gone to the East Bay yet. So it's rotating away from the East Bay.
Yeah. It's starting to get further out.
You think?
I have no idea if Drake has one yet.
I'll bring one in, though. I'll bring one of the Champaiterades in.
Yeah, so maybe we just need to do a show because...
Yeah, definitely.
At work, we it's cool a style a we talk about a lot of
if
work.
It's, you know, basically coming out of this area, you know, because I don't know that many people really heard of it. And I live here.
No,
I drink beer all the time, and I've never really seen
it was something that people weren't talking about 2 years ago. It's that new on the scene.
Well, that's the thing. Even hazies, you know. I mean, we weren't talking about hazies on this show when I was doing it before.
So yeah, but we were talking about them in the industry 5 years ago. So it's newer than
they're finally coming out to restaurants and they're having them on tap handles, and you'll start seeing them more. Is what you're saying?
Yeah,
this is like the hub.
Yeah, this is definitely the hub.
This is where it starts. We'll see where it goes.
But the style is so new, we're still trying to figure out what the style means.
Yeah. So is this going to be able to be judged at the...
So far, Gordon Strong hasn't added it to the style guide. But
so it's not an actual style yet.
Yet.
Okay.
It's like, it's not an appellation.
That's pretty cool.
Shut up.
I kind of want to drink one now.
Yeah, we'll get one.
I like IPAs. I like high gravity alcohol.
If I can make
IPAs,
it next week, I'll bring one in.
Okay,
but it's not.
This is
Barrel
Brothers one.
Yeah, theirs is not super high in alcohol, though.
Actually, next week.
Champagne Aid?
What's it called? What we got next week?
Next week we have Kona. So the week after.
Kona.
The week after, if you
can have Kona in.
Kona Girls.
Okay.
Are they coming?
I know Kona Brewing's coming. I'm not sure who's representing them this time.
Okay. Last time we had the girls on there, fun. What were the names?
Taylor.
Right? Yeah, Taylor and her friend.
Oh well. It's great you can see them so well on the radio.
I got a lot of swag on them. I got a bunch of stuff. That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe
wait. So
a beer nut chimed in.
A beer nut reminded me. So I got a picture 2 weeks ago from a beer nut of a bottle, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to say this. So we had a beer nut traveling to Iceland.
Oh, Iceland, nice.
And. Okay, I'm gonna ruin this name trying to pronounce it. Vatna Yuktl. I'm reading the so
no more beer for Colin.
It's spelled like Vatna Joe Cull, but the final sound is KTL put together.
Vatna Cull.
And it's the name of the glacier that makes Iceland have its name or something. Let's see. What does it say? The big glacier that gives Iceland its name.
Oh.
So this beer takes water from the glacier, carves off ice and melts it, and brews their beer out of it.
Ah.
I'm thirsty for one now.
And it's called Frozen in Time. And it says, truly unique beer from Glacier Lagoon Icebergs and the local Arctic thyme. So they, instead of hops, or maybe in addition to hops, they use thyme as the herb.
Thyme, huh?
And
so we're talking about that. Extra.
Wow.
Yeah, I've always liked thyme as a beer.
It's like back in the day before we had refrigerators. Everyone just drug ice everywhere. Put it in the ice box.
And I've got a picture of the label. In 1874, I'm going to ruin all these Icelandic words, so I apologize right now. Ingolfur Anderson became the first settler in Iceland. At a similar time, the water used in the special beer fell onto the clean, unspoiled Vatna Kolt glacier. Now it returns from the glacier icebergs in the regional glacier lagoons on the black sand around the glacier. The small and humble Arctic thyme herb grows during this short, bright summer. Truly unique beer from Glacier Lagoon icebergs and the local Arctic thyme, allowing you to experience with all senses the Valaknakul region in its purest form.
That's so pretty cool. Can we get this beer?
No, it's only
Beer Nut. Come on.
So Beer Nut sent us a picture of the bottle.
It says, look what I'm enjoying.
Table in Iceland.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, speaking of Icelandic beers, though, we're big supporters of Vinestock. We're getting the Doppelbock on tap.
Oh, good.
Which is their holiday beer, and that's a great beer. Yeah. The Doppelbock.
A lot of people like that
every
one.
Year. It's a great one.
You know, Iceland has still really restrictive beer laws, so there's not lots of breweries there, and brewers are kind of not the most popular people in the culture.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But these,
do you think there's
nothing
else to do in Iceland? Right, with drink.
I guess not beer. Because wow. Boy, the laws are really restrictive. I don't know.
Einstock is interesting though because it's not distributed everywhere.
That's the one with
it's
the Viking like, on it, right?
California, where
got
we
the
are,
axe as the yeah, tap handle.
Where we are is one of the few places that they distribute, and I think the owner is an American guy.
The porter's really good.
The porter and the white ale is still our best seller.
That,
in bottle.
That's always going to be a good seller because it's such an easy to drink beer. And
I didn't know they were from Iceland because I've had that beer a few times over.
It's brewed in Iceland, yeah. But I don't know. I met one of the owners one time and he's an American dude. So I don't know what the arrangement is exactly, but I know they're not distributed everywhere. So it is a very unique beer to pick up if you ever see it.
Normally there's two handles pouring at Bilko's, and the secret room in the back has three flavors.
Yeah, so. They have. I think all of the ones that they have, their regular ones. The Wee Heavy is the one they don't have, and that's one that we've picked up too. Their Scotch Ale was fantastic as well, but their regular lineup is just the white, the pale, and the porter.
Yeah, those are the three that are in the back. There's only two handles in the front.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you, that Doppelbock, you come into Napa Cigars, get that Doppelbock.
I'm going to have to try that one.
That'll be on, hopefully, in the next couple weeks.
Oh, sweet. So do you have a special announcement?
Okay, so we only have a few seconds left. So okay. I just heard a few days ago that the brewer that's been writing the Brew Your Own column, Advanced Brewer. So there's a column that's been in Brew Your Own for 15 years, called Advanced Brewing, rather, has opened his own brewery, no longer has time to write the article. So as of the next issue, which will be the January issue, I will be writing that issue. And that is a Beer Nut exclusive.
Not really.
All right. Yeah. So how
long is it? How much page do you have to fill? How many?
I had 2,000 words, okay. 8 times a year.
There you go.
8 times a year?
Yep.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
That, yeah, you'll have a hard time keeping it to 2,000 words.
That's always been my issue, yeah. I get commissioned for 3,000 word articles and I submit 7. Yeah. So that's always been
half the articles
issue.
Right. Yeah.
You fix
holograms.
It. You edit it.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E.
This is Napa Sheriff John Robertson, and you are listening to KVON Napa.
When your car or truck is ready for